Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it's July 2nd. Our summer is almost over, folks. We get about 8 more weeks before it starts snowing. Oh, boy. Michigan summers go quick.
Yeah.
Too quick.
You think they do. Never heard the whistle. What's up with that?
You didn't hear the whistle?
No.
It blasted my headphones.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I don't know why you didn't hear it.
That's okay.
I can play it again. Because if you can't hear it, that means you might as well save that other thing because I won't be able to play it. But we'll see.
Oh.
Hang on. See if you hear this whistle.
Yeah.
You heard.
I'm sorry. It must have been me. It might have been just me because I'm focused on trying to get that piece somehow here. I'm trying to figure it out here.
Yeah. Let me get Adrian on here. Good afternoon, Adrian, or evening.
Good evening, everyone. And yes, I heard the whistle the first time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I knew,
you're welcome.
I had trouble last night. And Scotty just wants to mess with my head.
Oh, that's what it is.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's a pain in my ass anyway.
Is everybody, Scott, are you off? Or are you working?
I took yesterday and day. I'm working tomorrow and Tuesday.
Okay. Well, before it gets too late, I want to say to everyone, have a happy Independence Day, because I don't want to forget to say that.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. We won't be. That's right. That's Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Too bad our kids. Go ahead, Scott. What?
Oh, it says it stopped, so let me know if it didn't.
In my email?
In your email. At factorfirst.aol.com. Adrian, was you able to see the UPS Teamsters, their statement they made in public? And they had the whole crowd of people behind them? Oh, my goodness. Well, Don's going to play it. It put goosebumps on my arms. I'm telling you.
I'll give me a little warm feeling. I'll play it if I ever get it.
Well, I just sent it to your email.
Well, I didn't get it.
If not, let me.
Sometimes there's a delay when you send stuff. It takes a minute for it to come across. It shouldn't, but it does.
If not, I can double send it to you in Facebook Messenger.
Just put it in a chat room or something, and I'll grab it that way, maybe.
Oh.
Again.
All right. I think I logged in before you had the chat room up. There's live chat. Not showing me being on there. Oh, there it is. All right. Let me see what comes up. I think that's it. Sure. I think that's the one.
You think that's it, do you?
Yeah. See how it didn't come to you in the...
It sure did. I got my mail up. All right, let's see if we can't snatch this sucker. Uh-oh. Share is on there, too?
Oh, that's what it says. That's when hang on. Double-check this thing. Says to copy.
Hold on, I'll copy it. Voyix. really an exciting show.
Yeah, it will be. Oh, I ain't gonna let you play that, is it?
I don't know. I'm gonna try it right now. Paste. And we'll see if it brings anything up. Oh, it does, Scotty. I think I got it, buddy. After I try to get rid of this commercial.
Yeah, that's 5 seconds, and you'll have a. It will resume shortly or whatever. Resume shortly. Just kind of bump that up till you start seeing somebody come out to a podium and let her rip. Turn her up and let her rip.
Well, thank you, Scott, because without you, I wouldn't have known what to do since I've been doing it for 19 years. But thank you.
Oh, you stop it.
Jeez. I'm trying to get to the main man here. Inaudible. Jesus, Scott, why didn't you give me a start time?
Consisting of Fred Zuckerman. Thank you much for being here today. My name is Sean O'Brien. I'm the General President of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. To my right is our General Secretary Treasurer, Fred Zuckerman. I'm joined here today with our National Negotiating Committee, consisting of all the leadership around the country that represents UPS. But most importantly, we have rank-and-file members who are on the committee who work for UPS, and they're responsible for making UPS the most profitable company in the delivery business. Now, to purpose of today's meeting and press conference, it's to let the general public know how hard these Teamsters work for United Parcel Service. Our Teamsters are the best in the business. We represent 340,000 members. Majority of them are part-timers that go to work every single day, move boxes, load those trucks, the truck drivers and feeder drivers can provide goods and services to this country. We want to let the general public know that we are at a crossroads right now with UPS. We're at a crossroads because through the toughest times that we've seen during the pandemic, the one thing that was constant was our Teamsters going to work every single day, making certain that supply chain kept flowing through this country. We had part-timers going to work in these warehouses with total disregard for themselves and their families, putting themselves at risk, putting their families at risk. We had members that died because they went to work to provide these services to the general public. And we want to make certain that UPS rewards not only the part-timers, but also the full-timers and everybody that works as a Teamster at United Parcel Service. As a result of the pandemic, their profits doubled. They weighed $100 billion last year. $100 billion. And now it's time for UPS to reward the people that have made them the success they are. That is our 340 rank-and-file members. Now, we are in contract negotiations. Our contract is set to expire on July 31st, and our administration has made it clear we will not be working beyond the expiration date without the contract that our members have demanded, but more importantly, the contract that our members deserve. Now, I want to give an update. Historically, the Teamsters Union would go into negotiations 1 year prior to the expiration date, and that's happened over the last four cycles. That didn't work well for our members. So we decided a different strategy. We put a deadline on these negotiations. We started negotiations supplementally, where there's 44 supplements on top of the national agreement. And we told UPS that we would not go to the national table unless all 44 supplements were completed. We were able to complete 42 of those supplements. We held up negotiations nationally for another week and a half, and then we got permission from the other two supplements who were confident they were going to get it done, and they got it done, to go to the table and demand what our members want. We've been in bargaining since May nationally. We've made progress on 54 changes within this contract. And I want to remind the general public, I want to remind the politicians, and I want to remind the media, this is the largest collective bargaining agreement in any private sector union. We have the opportunity because of the courage and conviction of our rank and file members that go to work every single day to set the tone and set the standard high for labor, not just the Teamsters, but the entire labor movement. So we've been in negotiations, and we've gotten some changes. We've gotten some changes that are better our members' lives, but more importantly, take care of their families. But we're not there yet. And we're not there yet because UPS, typically like UPS, thinks that the Teamsters Union are going to concede to their demands. I'm proud to say every change that has been made right now has zero concessions and all gains for our members. And we're going to continue that right through till July 5th. This past week, UPS wasn't moving quick enough. They weren't moving quick enough, so we put a demand. We demanded a last best final offer. And that last best final offer usually is taken to our membership for a vote. UPS came back to the table, knowing we were serious, made some movement, but we made a commitment to resume negotiations. And we are at a point right now where we have the opportunity to do two things. And UPS, ball is in their court. We have to come to an agreement by July 5th in order to get that thing ratified by the expiration date. And we've been clear again, and I know UPS is watching. They're probably hiding in the trees. But we are clear. Without a ratified contract, meaning subject to the approval of about 340,000 members, we will not be working. So UPS has two choices to make. They can either go down one road where they want to reward our members who have made them the success they are today, concede to our demands and give us what we deserve, and we will go out there and ratify this agreement. Or they can take the other road where they don't concede to our demands. They stay loyal to Wall Street and forget about Main Street. And if they do that, they are making a choice to strike themselves, where we will put 340,000 strong Teamsters on the streets till we get what we want, and then UPS will be responsible for stopping supply chain solution through this company. But, you know, UPS has a choice. The first road, they can be the model of what it means to be a good employer, what it means to reward the people that have made them a success. You know, UPS is putting out some propaganda that the average UPS driver makes $93,000 per year and $50,000 in benefits. And that is true. That is only true because they have to bargain with us. But they don't tell you the other story, where the majority of their employees are part-timers, single mothers, single parents, working 4 in the morning till 8 in the morning in awful conditions, for awful wages. We have part-timers throughout this country that are on food stamps, that are on subsidized housing. Some are homeless. This day and age, when we have companies as profitable, they need to reward their people, and we are not going to stop till we get the contract that we deserve for our 340,000 members. And we're going to use this contract to help change the lives of people that are in this industry, non-union, just like Amazon workers right now go to work unprotected, no benefits, no wage increases, no path to a full-time career. We're going to take this contract and say, this is what you're going to get when you join the Teamsters Union. So I'm very proud of the work we've done, but we're not done yet. And UPS has less than 84 hours to get this deal done, or less than 84 hours to feel the wrath of the biggest, most powerful organization, and that is the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. I'll open up for questions.
If you have U.S. dollars in your bank account,
pay close attention.
Because we could be days away.
You can't hear the questions.
Fair.
But
they know that we're not playing around. They know that we have tremendous unity and support throughout this country. Look, the general public loves their UPS drivers, loves their UPS employees. So the last thing they want is a blemish on their reputation. But most importantly, what we want to leverage our power. We want to leverage their profits. And we want our people rewarded. So UPS decided, instead of giving us last and final, to come to the table, move on their proposal. And they made some movement, but it's not enough. It is not enough. We will determine when it's enough. Great. I appreciate everybody coming out. Look, stay tuned. This is going to be the defining moment, not only for the Teamsters Union, but also organized labor throughout this country. Thank you very much.
How'd you like that?
Wow. Very good. Very good.
Just for Teamsters. But for all labor. So they're trying to lead away, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
We'll see who is listening and who wasn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. If there's anybody else in the switchboard, please press 1. I forgot to probably cancel the show last week, forgetting that it was 4th of July weekend. I'm sure a lot of people are out doing anything with their friends and their family.
Well, we're only going an hour, so.
An hour, yeah, yeah.
People can get up.
We got over a half an inch of rain here, Don. I don't know about your place, but it rained pretty good here.
Yeah, it rained. We needed it. And you can stay tuned. At 8 o'clock, we'll do a full weather report for you right here on the UAW show. Way to go, Scott.
Stop it.
Adrian, stop it. Talk about the... tell everybody about the $250 or whatever it is. I don't even know what it is.
For what?
For over-the-counter products.
Oh, the over-the-counter products?
For the retired.
That I haven't done my own order this year yet. It's $150.
Oh, okay,
$150. Yeah, well, I hadn't did my order, and then come to find out it had some issues with hacking.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to be a part of that. The information. Oh God, what did I do with it? I can give you the information for the over the counter, but yes, they did have an issue where. They believe that some people's information was compromised. And it happened this year. I have my own thoughts on that. But
I would love to be able to hold the company, their feet to the fire, and be able to get some kind of... instead of just writing us a letter, we can sue them. We're not taking care of our names and social security numbers and all that.
And not having the proper security. But then, you know, that also falls under our UAW organization. But anyway,
that's right.
Security seems to be lacking. All of a sudden, you're requesting information, even on UAW.org. You know, you want people's name, their email address, their phone numbers. Why? You never did that before. But anyway,
yeah.
For the over-the-counter products, it's uawtrust.org /OTC benefit. Call 877-218-9951. You can also go under uaw.org and find You could find this under there. It would be under the Medical Benefits Trust.
All right.
Yeah, they've had, that's not the only program that they've had a problem with someone hacking. I can't remember what the other one was. We got letters that said that you could go to Experian.
Yeah.
And it supplies you with a code, and they will give you some monitoring on your credit reports for 2 years.
Oh.
Yeah, you should have received a letter.
I don't recall getting a letter.
Okay, well, my thoughts on that is that we shouldn't have to do that.
No.
The hacking occurred at the organization level, however. They should do that automatically for everybody that they think got hacked. They should just do it, period.
That's right. By blanket coverage.
Right. And we shouldn't have to contact anybody. The only thing that we should get a letter saying that they've put us in a program to watch our credit reports. Things that are happening to the retirees, it's a damn shame. You had people up at the top, not the current quote leadership, but in the past, they made concessions, which they try to claim that that's not bargaining, but that is bargaining, where they took funds away from the retirees. So every time you turn around, it's like every so many years, every couple of years or so, something is happening with the retirees that should not happen. Now, I get it. They got a lot of hackers out here. You can't really stop them. I get that, too. But you can set up certain types of firewalls, other security to protect the retirees. And it just seems to me that all the protections that can be done have not been done.
Right. Yeah, you're right. anybody, all those Social Security numbers they have, they should just blanket coverage.
Yeah.
That should be part of the contract.
And that's not negotiating with the companies. No, we're talking at the organization, UAW organization level. Because, see, the companies don't use your Social Security no more. They gave you global IDs.
Oh.
They stopped using Social Security numbers quite a while back. But,
wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. They stopped using Social Security numbers, you know, where we used to use our last four. Oh, no, you had a whole another global ID number that didn't even have your Social Security number in there. Scott, do you have a global ID number?
Ooh.
I mean, they don't use your Social Security number, do they, at GM?
No, we have a GMI number.
Mm-hmm.
No, we have a GMI number.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't know
what... So all the active workers have that. You know, They stopped using Social Security numbers
years ago.
Yeah, it's been so long back that I can't even remember what year it was.
Yeah, I remember GMI numbers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
You get kicked out of all the systems when you retire. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
So I don't know how they're going to improve, and I hope that they do improve the security systems for everybody.
Yeah.
Through the UAW, because, you know, there's just too much information on each one of your members. For, you know, you using social security numbers, that's just not good.
No. Too much stuff to be pulled off of your social security number.
Right. So, who knows what they're going to do? Of course, you know, that's not something that I guess they're all that concerned about, because if they were, we would hear something maybe in some of the town hall speeches. You would say something about that.
Good thought.
It's because it's worth saying something about. You know that it's happened. You can't sweep it under the rug.
No, you can try, but
right.
That's a pretty big lump sitting under the corner of the rug.
Right, it's a pretty big one. You know, and I did try to get a hold of some people this week to get the word out to our younger members about the life insurance upon their separation from the company, that they won't have it. You know, that's right there with the medical. I mean, if you don't have a medical and you don't have a life insurance either. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want them to forget to negotiate for that also.
Yeah. That's a real good thought. Hopefully somebody told somebody about that.
Well, no one ever talked about it. And I say one day it just popped into my head. Wait a minute. Nobody says anything about that.
Right.
Let me call and do some checking to make sure that my thoughts are correct on this.
Now, you still have life insurance, though, right?
Yes, as a retiree, when your life insurance decreases, and when you get 70, it decreases, and that's the last decrease.
Right.
And it stays at that.
When you need it the most, it decreases, and that's really something.
Yeah. Like your dad was, his insurance policy was way different than my dad's. When my dad went,
my dad had $40,000, and he was 88 years old.
Oh yeah, that was different.
Yeah.
My dad had $17,000 left in his insurance policy when he passed away.
It was a surprise to me. We got a booklet of, it was four checks of $10,000. And we almost threw it away. You know, we didn't know how to, what the hell is that? You know, we put it in the throwaway pile. And I think Cinnamon said, I better look at this. And $40,000. Stuck it in the bank.
Wow. I know that my dad's was like $23,000. And that was like the year 2000.
Yeah.
And he was at 77 when he passed. So
I think these contracts from yesteryear were definitely set up better. And I'm sure they tweak those over the years as we come more current, because I see dollar amounts going down farther and farther. So I'm sure something is somewhere legally in the system pertaining to life insurance and life insurance with the retirees. Active workers, you've always heard of triple indemnity. That's if you were to die inside the plant or on the property. They pay out the full life insurance. People don't realize with General Motors, what they do is triple indemnity is if you was to get killed on the property, then you get paid, I'm going to use a dollar amount, $120,000. See, they say you never die in the plant. I mean, you know how that goes. So, no. They still have calls. He died on the way to the hospital. It was, DOA, but he was alive enough here. He had a pulse.
Yeah,
so
but his head was chopped off.
Exactly.
His head was chopped off, and he didn't die in the plant.
Exactly. Triple plant down, he doesn't get paid very often.
Don and I knew about the one fellow that committed suicide in line. But they said, he put a barrel of a gun and a pistol in his mouth and squeezed the trigger and blew the back of his head off. He saw that pulse when he left.
So,
hey, what
but
happened
anyway.
To you? Here you go.
Yeah. So what happens is, in that situation, General Motors pays out $40,000 to whoever the beneficiary is, on his behalf. And they keep the other
$80,000.
Mm-hmm. See, people know how that, even in death, they make money on you. People don't realize that.
That's correct.
These are business people. They're not stupid. They're going to, somebody's going to figure out how to make money on somebody, no matter what the situation is. So, with that being said, that's just one for instance, there's been a couple of times throughout the years where they had to pay it out that I could think of, and there's some times they should have paid it out that they didn't.
Right.
One is like what you said. Unfortunately, there was a short person working in the area. A cart got caught in a conveyor belt, and it swung around like a giant scythe, and it decapitated him. The boss was coming into work and kicked his head. And when he saw what he had kicked, he just stopped instantly, puked, and then went and got somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They paid that one because it's kind of hard to say that he wasn't dead. The other one, unfortunately, somebody had not used the safety measures, and it was a skilled tradesman, and he was polishing a die, a very big die, and the press come down. They had to take him out with a putty knife. Okay, so it's kind of hard to deny that one, too. Certain circumstances, it's hard.
Right.
But other ways around, if they can find a way to say that, I've heard of people getting caught inside of welding fixtures.
Yeah.
They were suffocated. They were blue. They said, no, we were working on him in the ambulance when they left. Well, was he dead? No, we were working on him. We were reviving him. But he didn't make it to the hospital alive. So,
right.
I've always believed that the doctors that they have on staff there are not allowed to pronounce.
No.
People.
No.
And so that's why they get, they died en route and they got pronounced at the hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that they don't have that liability.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Somebody would have been, I don't think they carry liability insurance. Yes, that's for sure. But if somebody like, in that instance, like at our plant, somebody should have called the police. They should have been frozen as a police scene. And they should have called the county mortician, because he's going to come and he's going to say, he was dead.
But they have to have permission to enter the property.
If it's a crime scene. Yeah, but I mean, if it's a crime scene, if it's considered a crime scene,
right?
The county coroner has to have permission. If he comes along with the police.
Yes, if it's a crime scene, that's correct.
So, I mean, I don't know. It was bad. They stopped the line for, what, 3 hours, Don? And then got him cleaned up and fired
and
her right
back
up.
To work.
Yep.
I said to our superintendent, I said, well, that's one claim they won't be able to dispute, the guy that shot himself in the head.
Okay.
Five jobs away from me, and his girlfriend broke up with him, and he shot himself. And that's one they can't deny.
They did. I don't know if somebody fought or not. They did. So, real quick, we got less than a half an hour to go. So, this last week, Lordstown Motors has filed for bankruptcy, and they are suing Foxconn, which is a Taiwanese company, for $170 million funding deal. Now, Foxconn, the Taiwanese company, is saying, well, you do what you're going to do, and we're going to do what we're going to do, because we're going to do something about it now, too, also. Because Lordstown Motors said they're going to sell the business. See what happens. You know, be interested to see what happens with that one. I mean, not that I don't think they're going to go anywhere. As far as you know, making an electric truck. So that was one thing. Another thing was, that's nice. I can't get that one. All right. So we had the CEO for Ford talking about negotiations. It's about collaborations instead of concessions.
Uh-huh.
So that's been two people, I think, this last week that have been outspoken from Ford about upcoming contracts, right?
Right.
It's like, well, what's going on here? What's this game? Because now we're going to put this out in public eye. It's like, well, you know, I can see how they're doing it, but I also don't think it's very right, because now you're putting out the dealings between you and the membership, who is represented by an amount of staff people. You're putting our business out there in the public, and you're trying to perceive you to the public as one way. So that might be an answer, because Mr. Fain has said multiple times how much money they've made in the last decade and how they're treating the workers. So maybe they're trying to change that perception. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's...
Tell you the truth, I mean, it's contract time.
Yes.
And everybody, companies, come out and try to make themselves look good.
Yes.
Like they do the right things towards their workers.
Right, like the 3,000 people they converted ahead of schedule to go to up their status in progression.
Right. Right. This is not unusual for them to do. The members don't get angry, is what I want to say to you, because if you're angry, you will miss a lot. You won't think about what's happening.
Correct.
That's the whole thing, to get the public to go against the workers or the union members. And so I have to make my company look as good as I possibly can. That, you know, we're friendly, we do this, we do that. That's what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Supposed to do that, but I don't think that you should get the public involved, because the public does, half of the people in the public don't understand what really goes on in the facilities.
Correct.
And then, you know, there's a few lies told too, you know, that you make this amount of money, which you don't make that amount of money. And benefits, yes, when you add benefits on, that's a different story. But still, your wage is the one that is not sustainable for the majority of the members, or the workers, as they're called also, or laborers, because that's what I call you, a laborer. You're not making enough money to sustain with everything going up, up, up.
Right.
My fight is for the active worker. I'm a retiree. I knew how much I was going to get when I retired. If I couldn't live on that, I should have kept my ass in there working.
That's right.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah, but I also have to look at those people that retired way back in the 80s.
Yep.
They don't get, you know, they don't
half
get as much as the ones that retired in the 90s, or the ones that retired in after, what is that, 2003? Because that's the last raise on the retirement benefit to $3,200 a month. But once you get Social Security, your pension goes down because you have that, I always say cutout, but it's not called a cutout. What is it called?
A screw job.
It is. Because they transpose that amount from off your pension, and they plug that hole they took off with your Social Security. They say, you're still getting the same amount.
You're still going to get the same amount. And it's like, okay.
Once you give me my full pension and the Social Security, then we'll talk.
Right. But then again, too, I can understand why the companies do that. I can understand why they operate like that.
Right.
Not that I think it's right. But knowing that, well, the company pays the pension. You don't pay into that pension. They do.
Right.
The company pays whatever you pay for Social Security. They have to match that. And the company pays a SUTA tax, which is the unemployment part. You don't pay that. So the company is going to try to recoup what they pay out.
Right.
I mean, just put yourself in that place. If I was the company, I'd try it too.
Sure.
Except
I mean,
on this side to fight against it.
Right. Right. I mean, if you get it, you get it, right? If you don't,
right.
Well, I tried. I tried.
Exactly. So, someone did ask me a question, like, so if they get pensions for our younger members, will it go back to their start date? And the only thing that I can say is that, do you think that would be fair? And you've been getting monies going into your you've been getting 6.2% provided by the companies put into your 401k. So you think they're going to go back to your start date?
I don't think they will.
I think
they'll start
from
the time. If that happens, it'll be from the time that the contract is negotiated. And then that match or that amount the company was helping you with in the 401k would go goodbye because you're not earning pension credits.
That's right. That's what I think. But like I said, that's what I think. It's not something I know. But if I just sit back and take a look at it and say, you know, now if I was the company, what would I do? I'm a member. I know what I want. And I know what it should be. That's
it. Right. You know, what was that? My dad used to say, you know, until you ask, the answer is always no. Right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But yeah, the answer is always no. So, yeah, that could be a pickle. I mean, it's going to be a large hurdle to begin with.
Right.
To get numbers added back into the Social Security, you know, have Social Security numbers added back into the system. Excuse me, that's going to be a huge, huge for taking on its own. You know what I mean? I mean, they haven't had to add any numbers in the into the system, Social Security numbers, since 2007.
Right.
This is 2023. A lot of money that they banked because nobody's been putting money into the system because they haven't had to pay out any extra pensions. So if that happens, you know, those numbers are going to change. The ERISA law comes into effect and all the money that goes around pensions and stuff, all that's going to change. That's a huge, huge undertaking. Plus, our president also said he wanted to go back to COLA again, which that's going to be a large chunk of money all on its own, too. So, you know.
Let's look at this. Let's see, because I don't give a damn about what the company thinks about a large chunk of money. We were lied to. I was still working at the time when all of a sudden they were all having trouble. And Chrysler and GM filed for bankruptcy. Ford's, they all had loans or the ability to get government loans. But the lie was, as soon as we return back to profitability, we will give you these concessions back. They never did that. And they've been profitable ever since. They never gave, COLA went away before that. But there were other concessions made. And
sure,
I mean, they Next pretty one. Much all the benefits that Walter Reuther and I would say before Douglas Frazier and before all of the benefits that they fought for and we won was given back after them.
Yes.
Year after year after year, you know, every contract, something was given back. Until now, yep. You're down to not a damn thing.
Right.
Really.
But we understand why that happened now with some of the leadership that we had in the past.
True.
And why the concessions was golden, because 16 of them, 17 of them, have been sentenced. They're felons. They're criminal process, and whether they did the time that they were supposed to do or not, that's another thing to be discussed. But most of them went to prison for at least a week.
At least a week. You're right.
Some of them were right back out because of COVID or whatever else. I'm going, well, gee, you didn't clear out the rest of prison.
Hey, 313.
Go ahead. Oh.
I want their pensions. I want their pensions. That's what I want. They don't deserve a pension from the UAW.
Nope.
Hey, guys.
Nope.
Petey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Jesse.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Jess. And one more thing. GM Tonawanda plant has a new – we don't plant managers anymore. We call them plant directors. And GM Tonawanda has a new plant director. Her name is Kara Wasik. And she has started out. She's been working at the Tonawanda engine plant for the last 24 years. She started out in Lockport, which they screwed the Lockport people, if anybody knows the story about that. But anyway, that's another conversation. So congratulations to this young lady. She's the new plant director, and we'll see what kind of things that she's been told to do with contracts, because General Motors, just like Ford, is saying, look, we're upgrading the bathrooms and the facilities. We're spending all this money here and here and here and trying to make it look good. As far as the public perception goes, but for those that actually walk around in there on a daily basis, some bathrooms should have been done 20 years ago. Some of those toilets are sitting only about, I don't know, 14 inches off the floor. They're really tiny, and I mean, they've been there forever. They've been there for a really long, long, long time, and you know. Working conditions, you know, have improved in some places. Some places they stayed the same. So, and as far as big investment goes, you know what? Whether it's contract time or not, they're going to invest the money. They just did it this time, so it made it look better. Every business has to spend money on its own business eventually. You have to. Whether it's upgrade or updo, increase, decrease, sell something off, buy something. You're going to spend money. So, you know, we look at all the places the General Motors is spending money in. Ford is spending money now and doing the same thing at their facilities. And it's all about timing, right?
About timing.
Timing's everything, they say, right?
Right.
So how's Jesse doing tonight?
I'm doing good, doing good. I've been listening to the show. I don't know. I hit one at the beginning. I didn't get on, so I was listening, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm very much more informed about life insurance. No. Anyway, yeah, we've been talking about it, and it's important subjects. But one of the things that kind of irked me this week. We heard about the legal counsel, the head legal counsel,
Abigail Carter,
being fired.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But what irked me was an annual report by the UAW, something that should be transparency, nothing sent out to the membership, nothing discussed. We find out in a Detroit News article from Robert Snell on June 30th on how much we've paid the monitor's legal team, as well as an additional law firm as far as handling these investigations in the oversight of UAW. And the total in the article accumulates between the monitor's law firm and the other law firm to be $6.8 million. That's transparency that should be brought to the membership. It's our money. It's not the media's. It's not the company's. And the other thing is, we've had 7 monitor reports, 3 of which have been a joke, or 3, 4. But at the beginning, and right now, sometime in September, will be 2 years since the monitor's actually been in place, and we've spent over $5.458 million of our union dollars. For what? 19 open investigations, none that have come to fruition. I just hope to God that if there's any wrong findings in these investigations, that there's no plea deals. because we're spending a lot of money, and we're hearing about what money we're spending in the media and not directly the membership.
Right. The only thing we're getting a report on is a strike fund.
$6.8 million is a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
Especially for the report.
More than that.
Yeah, it actually is more than that, but especially for the reports that we're getting.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what this monitor thinks, but Judge Lawson, who's the federal judge over this, has requested that the monitor give him more details on the protests and appeals from the elections. So maybe, too, the judge will find out about these investigations. I mean, I don't know. We don't know everything that the judge is going to be talking about with him. As far as Abigail Carter, who was the general counsel, and Sean Fain fired her, and this is the part that I don't understand. She is still handling cases for the UAW with the courts.
What? She was fired.
Fain fired her. But
right.
There were some other lawyers that requested to be taken off the UAW cases, and I think that those the two, they were also fired, and the judge kept in place Abigail Carter, and it's another one he kept in place, and then that was the only way that they could go.
And that was probably because they're involved in something that they cannot walk away or hand that case off over somebody else.
Right. But, you know, just as I stated to some people, we don't know what kind of gag orders are in place.
Right.
With the general counsel, I don't care that Sean Fain is the president. If there's a gag order placed on her by the FBI, the monitor, or the court system, she cannot talk to him either about it.
Right.
So
there
are things that go on in law that we all don't necessarily understand, but things happen. And
yep.
I don't know. So it's a... We're at this crossroad too. You know,
right.
She didn't give Sean Fain, according to Sean Fain, she didn't give him some information, and early on, and so he felt that she needed to go. Well, we don't know what the information was. I mean, you know,
federal
in the article, it's.
What's that?
Oh, no, I was saying in the article, it said, in the Detroit article, it said due to not providing information related to the investigations. So, I can't imagine.
She may not could give that to him.
Right.
Yeah, and in my opinion, too, criminal defense lawyers, in the article it says it leaves the UAW without criminal defense lawyers. Our organization shouldn't have criminal defense lawyers for anybody that's being investigated. They should have their own damn lawyer and pay their own damn money. We've already been down this road and wasted mucho money on past people being indicted. I can tell you right now, if I did something and screwed up, I'm not having an organization flip my bill. No way is an organization going to flip my bill. I'm going to have to flip my own bill.
Right.
As far as attorneys to conduct day-to-day business for the UAW, that's one thing, but have criminal defense lawyers for what?
Well, they have, like doctors have malpractice insurance. They have malpractice insurance.
Yes.
And that's and each policy is a different amount according to, I think, your position.
Right.
But once you go over that amount, then it's up to you to pay for it.
Yes. That was Gary Jones went over a little bit, and he had to pay out that out-of-pocket expense. And Dennis Williams went way over. Williams was like $350,000 over. And they told him, you've maxed out. The rest of it's all on you. That's all that insurance policy covered was a certain amount.
Right.
And being the president, probably the highest one.
Right. That's probably the highest insurance policy.
Right. Because that's the one person to say yes or no to everything.
Here's something else to think about, too, with this whole publicity about firing the general counsel. Why did it take Sean Fain in less than, a few months of being in office to be the one to do this when the monitor, as well as the adjudications officer, which we've never heard from ever, but the monitor adjudications officer has the right and the authority in the consent decree to remove any and all people that have misconduct. So why would it take a new UAW president to get rid of general counsel over potential withholding of information, whether or not she's got a gag order or not? Why wouldn't the monitor have already done that long before now?
Excuse me. Well, let's take a look at the monitor could also bring her back.
Yep. Like I said,
she ain't gone now.
She may be involved in something that is ongoing, including a investigation in which she needs to maintain her position or her title or her responsibilities, because it's linked to an ongoing investigation. Because there are some times where lawyers try to get out of cases where the judge tells them that you can't get out of this because of what you know. And,
right.
You know, we can't have you trade this off to another counselor and have them pick up where you lay off because they don't know what you know. And of course, there's confidentiality clauses. There's all sorts of stuff that dances around this legal mumbo-jumbo.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had been president and Brian said the same thing, I would have cleaned house day one. I wouldn't have let him find out, you know. I'm glad it happened this way because at least now you are privy to something that was being withheld on it from you.
Well, we still don't know what it was, though, do we?
No, maybe one day we will. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. Maybe one day we will. I can't say that he's right or wrong. I really can't.
Right.
Because personally, I don't have enough information. And he couldn't have did it day one because why? Day one, he was at the bargaining convention.
Right. Yeah, you're right. He was busy for that first 2 weeks. He was booked.
Right. I mean, everything was rolling, and so, and that makes me wonder, too. How did you come to this conclusion? Now, of course,
right.
You know, he's allowed to, you have appointed people. So he can go in there and unappoint people.
Yep.
And bring his own people in there. He could do that. But what I don't like, when we voted for direct voting, we didn't vote to have another caucus in there.
Correct.
Now, that we didn't do. We were voting for our upper echelon. We were trying to get rid of a caucus.
Yes.
And so now, and I'm very careful with my words here because of something that I had said before, and I was sidetracked. I didn't get the answer when I asked the question. So now we see that there's a lot of things coming out. It's saying that it's a solidarity house or UAW or doing it, but it's UAWD. And it's like, wait a minute. How is their names on stuff? We didn't vote them in there. But, okay.
Right. Yep.
No,
yeah,
I'm just
not trying to be nasty to anybody. I'm not trying to say that these people are not right or anything like that. All I'm saying is that we did not vote for a caucus, another caucus to be in there to take over, and we are following what they say. Oh, so they're pretending that we are following what they say. No. Anyway, I'm through.
That's a good point. But I'm going to get back on general counsel for a minute.
Okay.
Had I been president, and I'll tell you one of the reasons I would have let them go. Like I said, fortunately, something come up before they were let go, so we know about something. And I dare say there might be some shenanigans involved. just my thought. The reason I would let the lead counsel go, because you oversaw national contracts, and you've seen what's happening to the membership, and you're supposed to be our lawyer. Shame on you and the whole legal staff. You guys saw these contracts. You knew what was happening, and you didn't say something. You know what I mean? Because that has to be approved through the legal department. It has to go through the Justice Department, the Department of Labor, and the FCC.
Were things written right?
No, that's true, too. Wording. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Well, at this point, I'm glad that the house being clean, legal department, hopefully more is to come. I'm just saying, I brought this up back in October, November, that we need an overhaul of our legal department at the top. I think, in my opinion, we had the same people in play for too long and gotten too comfortable. And we need people that are going to work for us, not for individuals, but for the organization. Just my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I've had conversations with different people, and they speak positive about Abigail Carter. And these are just regular members. They've had dealings with them. Things that, letters that have been written and stuff. And so I don't know, because like I said, I've never had any dealings with her. So it's a good thing. So I could try to, I won't have tunnel vision where I'll agree or disagree. I can look at it head on.
Right.
And what I'm seeing, I'm a little bit confused because the court is keeping her on that case.
Right.
Even though she's been fired.
Yep.
I have an idea on that. I won't share on the air, but I'll talk to you after a show if you want, Adrian, on that
okay.
one. But yeah. But yeah, I agree with you. She, like you said, or Scott said, there might be a gag order.
You know, I know that they can place gag orders, and actually, the monitor. I would tell you that he's above her.
Yes.
Okay, well, he's the one that's got the investigations going, right?
Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
So,
and
Sean didn't say anything about he went to the monitor.
No.
That's why I'm saying I don't understand 6.8 million.
Uh-huh.
Spent on two law firms, primarily on Jenner and Block for, under the UAW monitorship.
Right.
And we have nothing other than a number of investigations that were announced in 2021. Nothing come out in 2022. The only thing that came out in 2022 was in somewhere in June with the monitor's report about the lack of cooperation from the current administration at that time. Other
than
that,
the fourth report. I believe that was the fourth report.
That would have been the third report.
Yeah,
that was the third
report. Between the third and the fourth report, and after that, all the reports have been about the election. And those reports were not sufficient. As far as I'm concerned, they didn't have all the information that they should have had on those reports about those elections. You saw nothing about protests, nothing about appeals. It told you, didn't tell you any numbers on that, didn't tell you any numbers about those return to sender ballots. You didn't have a... They never gave you a good number in writing, in a report.
Right. And
so we're one-third of the way through the six-year consent decree, which I was looking at again today at the consent decree. But we're almost one-third of the way through that six-year monitorship, which can be extended. It can be...
You're breaking up, Jesse.
There are more people. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Basically, we're 6 year consent degree, and we have all these investigations open and nothing but millions spent. That's the only thing that the membership has seen out of the monitorship. Everything before the monitorship led to indictments in a much shorter period of time with the FBI. How much did that cost the UAW with the FBI investigation? Does it compare to the over $6 million spent out of our union dues for a monitorship that's not getting, that hasn't produced any results in all these investigations to bring them to a close? Just a little bit disheartened that we're spending all this money, nothing's coming of it. And the fact that we don't know if any of these investigations include people that are still earning money or potentially a pension under the UAW umbrella, that we're spending money and potentially allowing people that be investigated to continue working.
This is true.
Right. And furthermore, the federal judge, he can oversee the whole thing, so he can set the parameters on anything he wants to.
Well, like I said, Judge Lawson has told Mr. Borofsky that he has to supply more information about those protests and appeals.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. Yep. All we could do is hope for the best.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so. Pat. You were talking about the new plant director for the Tonawanda plant. It made me think. It made me think. You know, I don't know how the organization works for Chrysler, Ford, but we know GM has a GMS system, global manufacturing system, and you know, metrics and things of that nature. You got the BIQ status for operations and expectations and whatnot. With a BIQ level 4 status, isn't there something about having less management in a facility? And if so, I guess that'd be a great way to save $2 billion in the next couple of years, according to GM's public goal to eliminate $2 billion would be to have less management, especially for plants that have that high status. They shouldn't need as much management to run, considering us rank and file are the ones that actually make the profits for the companies.
Right. Yep. Yep. Well, I got you guys here before we end the show because we're in overtime. At least I think we're in overtime. We're in overtime. What would you think about taking a break for 3-4 weeks? Maybe come back in the middle of August. Or sooner, maybe. Because negotiation will start and adjust here in a couple of weeks. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Crickets?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had myself on mute. I'm with whatever you all decide. I've never went along with, it's the summer and we'll take a break, because nothing takes a break.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You still have people working. You still have things going on that maybe the membership may want to contact us and ask us some questions about something. But that's up to you all, as far as I'm concerned, because I can go along with.
Right, right. We'll see what happens. Usually between middle of June till almost the Labor Day, the listeners drop way down because
right.
They're not doing nothing. I understand what you're saying. Things happen. And we can always do a special show. We can always come back and do something. Something big happens, you better believe we're going to have a show. Something going on, that's for sure. We all have a way of communicating with one another so we could do that.
Okay.
And I post on enough pages. I'll talk with Don a little bit more. I'm sure we'll have most of the regular crew back next Sunday. Maybe do next Sunday's show and announce it then and take a break for a little bit.
Okay.
Unless something big happens.
And yes, you do post on a lot of pages.
Oh, it was even more than that before.
I just happened to have the computer up today, which I haven't been doing every day. I have to take a break from some of the comments that I read because they're disheartening. But, however, I saw where you posted the show, and I was like, oh, my God. I didn't know he was posting in this one, too. And I'm like, and I said, well, he probably didn't know that I even get this particular group.
Right, right. I said,
I have a lot of groups, too.
I said, I see there's Adrian there. Look at that. You made me here.
Yeah, I read comments from most of the groups, and I don't usually comment back. Sometimes I do, but most times I don't, because I'm tired of seeing the one comment. Who's going to be the strike target? We don't know. Nah. Some people, I understand that they wouldn't know when that comes out. That normally does not come out until in the August or September sometime. Who's going to be the target?
Right.
And everybody wants their company to be the target, it seems. And it's like, oh, this is just getting on my nerves.
Yeah.
I gotta take a break because this shouldn't be getting on my nerves.
Well, it's apparently bad enough with the comments on that President Fain actually spoke about it in his last Facebook Live. So he's hearing it at his level too about people throwing out rumors and constantly asking who the strike target is. Like, look. If you're a part of these negotiations, if you work for a company for these negotiations, have your ass prepared for a strike.
Yeah.
Be excited if you don't go on strike, and get ready for a little bit more in-depth one-on-one solidarity with your union brothers and sisters if you do go on strike, because I'll tell you what, you might have disagreements and plenty of differences on the shop floor, but you definitely have unity on the strike line. No matter
right.
what.
Yeah, that's true. And like I said, it's just sad. But what I can tell everybody, Ford Motor Company has not been a strike target in over 30 years.
What was it, something like 87?
I think it was 93, but it might have been... It might have been 90, and it could have been 87. But I know it's been over 30 years. I can tell you that for sure.
And there was a couple times when they went with Ford first, and the membership of Ford didn't play around.
That's
which
right.
set the tone for the two. And so they quit going back to Ford because the Ford workers – they held the line back in the day. This is all the way back to the mid-2000s. They held the line. And they said, well, we kind of have to push things up a little bit. And they have. I don't know.
Yeah,
well,
so
Don,
that's, you could take a look at that also. But don't just look at, well, this one was the most profitable. That's not how it goes. It's not because they're the most profitable do they get selected as the strike target. There's a lot of other things that go into this.
Product development, products being retained if the plants here in the United States are out, that has a lot to do with it. Investments that they're willing to make in the future, let alone accommodations that go along with the collective bargaining agreement. There's a lot that plays into that. Financial is part of it. But you also know that you don't pick on somebody who's going through a bad time right now. Ford's kind of on a skid right now. You don't want to pick. You never pick on, as a rule of thumb, in the last 25 years, they never picked on the weakest of the three, except for one time, because it was advantageous for them, and that's when they put Chrysler first.
2015.
They put Chrysler first, ran through a bad contract, and then pattern that to Ford and to General Motors.
Right.
So
the other thing, too, is Unifor is going into their national negotiations with Big Three on August 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they always,
August 10th.
Yes, they always go. Canada has always went before us, except when when they formed the Canadian Auto Workers, they pulled away from the UAW. You had Buzz Hargrove. They were the Canadian Auto Workers. Now they're Unifor. They historically went before, and there's times where we as American UAW members have saw what our brothers and sisters have got up in Canada. But understand their situation a little bit different because they have national health care. There's some other money that gets fudged around in a different direction. But we saw some of the things that they've got. We thought, man, we're going to be cooking down here in the United States. They come back here, and we end up getting the short end of the stick, and our Canadian brothers and sisters did way better than what we did. So we'll have to see what happens because their uniform has a new president right now because their last president was ousted, and he's under investigations for with money being involved. So they have somebody new at the helm. Let's see what they do. I don't know. But we need to keep an eye on what the Canadian Auto Workers
do. Well, that's why
I
threw that date out there based on that article that I had posted to August 10th because we're going to be in negotiations before that. And with a significant difference in timing with the so-called entering negotiations, that leaves big opportunity for whipsawing between two countries and two unions that have the same goal in mind. Because if you read the article plus the Facebook Lives from the Unifor, you know, president in the past, we're all going after the same thing. But
yep.
The timing of negotiations between the two, August 10th, that's five weeks. It's like a month and a week away from their expiration date, you know, and we're only 4 days separated from their expiration date. I just hope between our two international unions that we get the companies
they hold
spending
the line.
To what we
You're
deserve.
Hoping, they hold the line. They hold the line. That's what you're saying. They need to hold the line. And Adrian and I have been around this, and I'm trying to pick any of them, but we've been around this a lot longer. Historically, the companies are going to do whatever the companies are going to do anyway.
Right.
They want to move product here or there, they do it anyway. They'll just take the backlash. I mean, Adrian and I, when we hired him back in the 80s, we heard the sucking sounds of companies being factories being closed up and headed down to Mexico or South America or to Spain or wherever else they went. You know, we were part of that. I mean, when I hired him in 85, I remember how many plants we had. We had 38 plants in the United States.
Wow.
We're down to like 16, 14, 16. You know, I remember jobs are all gone. Ford, the same way. Ford had a lot of extra plants. They're gone, too.
They're gone, too.
You know, so I agree with you, Jesse. Hopefully that there has been some kinsmanship between the Northern Union and the Southern Union, and they agree to hold the line for everybody to make it fair across the board. So,
and you have to realize that Canada's contracts are every 3 years.
Yes, and ours is four.
Ours is
hopefully,
four. Yes.
Hopefully they change that. If I remember right, there was some language about changing our contract back to 3 years.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the people who have a 5-year contract. 6-year contract is next year. There's some people that even have a 7-year contract. A lot of things can happen in 7 years.
Yes, that's
a lot of things
correct.
Can happen in 4 years. So if you think you got a bad contract 2 years in and you got 3 more years to go, that sucks.
Yes,
it just does.
In Courthouse Square, on a park bench, a man was sitting there. I said, your old courthouse is kind of run down. He said, no, it'll do for our little town. I said, your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it. He said, have a seat. And I sat down. Is this the first time you've been to our little town? I said, I think it is. He said, I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key said, watching it right and say, can you see? And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the island beside the Texas flag, but she waved on though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. Because she's been through the fire before. And I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning. We take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her upright. On second thought, I do like to brag, because I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Happy Fourth.
Have a happy holiday.
Happy
Fourth.
Good night.
Fourth.
Good night. Be safe.
Good night.